at theology studies in that place where we are dealing with eschatology, and we are dealing with first the eschatology of the individuals, and then we will look in some measure, not a lengthy measure, on the eschatology relating to nations and or the history, if you please, of the earth. I will not dwell. I know some of you were fretful that I would, but I will not dwell any longer on the subject of death. I could spend weeks literally just dealing with death, just without even, frankly, without even notes, and I'm not necessarily bragging about that. I'm not sure that's a thing to be bragged about, but I am sure that I have been occupied with the subject. Consumed would be a better word, but I will not linger any longer. I think I've said all that needs to be said about death as to the eschatology of the individual. And moving then right on to the eschatology of the individual, that next last things, which is what the study of eschatology is, last things, with regard to the human experience, will be the resurrection. And I said human experience, not just Christian. It is the eschatology of every human that they will be raised from the dead, their bodies. Genesis 3, this doctrine, just to show you that this doctrine of the bodily, the resurrection of our bodies has been held. That is not some new phenomena, some new doctrine of the New Testament. That has been held by the people of God from all of ancient time. In fact, that proto-evangelium in verse 15 of Genesis 3, at least has it by implication. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. It is looking backward, we're able to say that it has, in the kernel, the prophecy is there. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What chapter did I say? Chapter 3, verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt not say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Dr. Gill suggests from that text that it is in seed kernel there as well. But more specifically, the most ancient book, Job. Clearly, Job taught how much he understood, we have no way to say, but clearly he taught that there would be a resurrection of the physical body. In Job 19 and verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now, again, how much he understood that, it is not possible for us to say. But it is certainly his words. The words are there. And frankly, we have no reason to believe that he did not understand it just as he said it. We have no reason to doubt that. Isaiah 26 and verse 19, thy dead shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Clearly a definitive prophecy of the resurrection. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now again, what specific understanding these Old Testament prophets had, we don't know, can't know, but it is very clear that they did understand an actual physical resurrection of the body. And I said to you, it is of both the redeemed and the unregenerate. The scripture is very clear on the subject. John 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all, A-double-L, all, and that is not in italics, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The bodily resurrection is not a doctrine for believers only. It is the truth. It is the reality for all men, both saved and lost, if you want to use those terms. I despise them. The redeemed, those that are regenerate, those that are his by the new birth, and those who are reprobated and know not Christ at all. Acts chapter 24, again, and I'm giving you all these references just to demonstrate the truth. Acts 24 and verse 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. All who die will be resurrected. Now, they will be resurrected in their bodies. Their bodies will be resurrected. And I know that the unbeliever has a real problem with that. But may I just say, that's not the only thing the unbeliever has the problem with. They have the problem. Well, they have a problem with believing God, period. On any subject you want to name, this is no greater than any other. But that is because they are unbelievers. But it is true that we will be raised in our bodies. That is our eschatology. That is the last things for us. Gill said it may be proved that the same body that now is, will be raised from the dead. This is fully expressed by Job, I read you in chapter 19, verse 26, 27, who firmly believed that this body of his, which would be destroyed by worms, would be raised again, and that very flesh of his, in that very flesh, he would see God incarnate, and that with the self-same eyes he had, and not another's, and which is so strongly asserted by the apostle in 1 Corinthians 15 53 and 54, this mortal must put on immortality, this corruption must put on incorruption, pointing to the present mortal and corruptible body he had then, and which was confirmed by what follows. So, when this corruption, he says, when this corruption shall have put on incorruption. So, Paul bespeaks, as did Job, a resurrection specifically of that very body which was to be buried and laid away. Hodge said, "The passages of Scripture which treat of this subject make it plain that the same bodies that are raised are to be raised that are deposited in the grave by the phrases by which they designate that." Philippians 3:21, our bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:53 and 54, this corruptible. John 5:28, all who are in their graves. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17, they who are asleep. 1 Corinthians 6:15, our bodies are the members of Christ. And the resurrection, John 20:27, our resurrection is to become of and like that of Christ, and we know that was his own identical body. They recognized him. They recognized him and who he was. We will recognize. Now, we know from other scriptures of that we will recognize persons whom we've never seen. But if they were persons we knew, we will know them. We will recognize them then and there in their bodies. Albeit, all of our bodies will be capable of eternal existence. Nevertheless, they will remain uniquely our own, because especially certainly to the believer whose resurrection is said to be like that of Christ, and we know what his was. When will this resurrection occur? Oops. That's where we get into some questions. But let me give you Gill. As to the time of the resurrection, it cannot be exactly fixed. Well, let me assure you, if Dr. Gill can't exactly fix it, I'm not going to try too hard. But, he goes on, nor does it become us, it is not becoming for us, curiously to inquire into it, any more than into the time of the kingdom or the hour of judgment. Acts 1:6-7. In general, it is said to be in John 6:39, 40, 44, and 54, it is said to be at the last day. At the last day, that is, of this present world. At the coming of Christ, they that are his will arise. When he shall descend from heaven, the dead in him will rise first. When the present earth shall be burnt up, and the new one formed in which the saints will reign with Christ. And then Gill says, for 1,000 years. Giving away somewhat of his eschatology. He says that they will be raised. He will burn up the old world and establish a new world. And then the saints will reign in their bodies with him on that earth for 1,000 years, at the close of which the wicked dead will be raised. 1 Corinthians 15:23, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and Revelation 20, verse 5. So there's how Gill lays out the order. Now, he did start out by saying that the timing of all this is difficult to fix with great deal of accuracy. We're not sure, it's not exact. But his position is that he will come, his saints will be raised first, and then he will purge the earth, and then he will raise the saints will reign with him for 1,000 years, and then the dead will be raised, etc. That's how Gill lays out the timing, and trying to answer the question, when will this happen? When will this resurrection happen? And he places the two events as being separated by this 1,000-year reign. And by the way, that is for your future, for next lecture. That description, that is the classic, what is called historical premillennialism. The premillennialism of Schofield and these men is different from this. But this is a statement of what is classically, theologically been called historical premillennialism. And supposedly, I think there's... It's very difficult sometimes to pin down what Spurgeon believed. The man's, I think, intentionally ambiguous in many places. But it's said that this is the position Spurgeon had, and that he got it from Gill. He did study Gill a lot. And so this is the position set forth by Gill as to the timing. And then one last question I'll answer. What will this body be like? We're talking, all this today is about the body, the bodily resurrection. I pointed you to the fact that it has been held by the people of God since forever, since as long as there has been revelation from God at all. This has been the position that's held. I've told you that it is a resurrection both of the righteous and the unrighteous. I've emphasized the fact that it is a resurrection of the same body and not a different one. Now, it is made different, but it is the same body made different. It is not a different body. And then I've just read you what Gill said about the timing of it, when it would be. And then I'll say just a word from Hodge about what it will be like, what this body is like. Well, in a quick listing, it's simply this. It is, in 1 Corinthians 15:44, it is said to be spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean that it is only a spirit. It is a physical body. But it is said to be spiritual, in that body will be incapable ever of dying again. So it has that nature about it. For the believer, in Philippians 3:21, it is said that it will be like Christ's body. Now, I can't fill out for you all that means. We don't have that answer. But I can tell you that that text of Scripture does say it will be like Christ's body. One might reasonably assume that it has to do with the fact that it is no longer corruptible and that it is spiritual in that sense. And it will be like his body. I don't know all that entails. 1 Corinthians 15:54, I can also tell you that it will be glorious, incorruptible, and powerful. glorious, incorruptible, and powerful. Revelation 21:4, it will never die. And I hate to finish on this note, but Hodge did. Don't blame me. He couldn't help but point out, since he's just simply gathering up the facts that we have concerning this body in its new state, he gathered up from Matthew 22:30 that it will never be given in marriage. It will never be given in marriage again. Very clear. Scripture is very clear about that. Isn't that an interesting note concerning these bodies? So those of us who are married, our bodies are married to one another. And the Scripture is very clear that we do marry our bodies, not just our spirits, right? We're to give one another our bodies completely as one flesh, etc. Well, that will no longer exist. These bodies in their glorified state will no longer exercise that particular dimension. That will be a part gone. Very interesting. Mr. Hodge, you can write to him in his long bed. His long bed. Okay. So much for the eschatology of the individual. That carries us right out into eternity. And next time, we will take up a lecture, a very brief lecture, concerning the eschatology of the world, if you please, or the earth, or nations, the eschatology of nations.